Let's look at, Kim's already pointed us in this direction, but let's turn to Isaiah and chapter 9. And I want us to just briefly, and it will be brief, look at this verse in verse 6, which is a prophetic verse that was said at a time where Isaiah is speaking into a situation where there was a lot of darkness, a lot of confusion, there was a lot of oppression and a lot of fear. 734 years before, approximately 734 years before Jesus was born. Israel is under threat. The Assyrian Empire is rising. And people are beginning to ask, where is God? Does he see? Does he care? And Isaiah gets these words from the Father to write down. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In that situation where they are facing this quite a disastrous event, what does God do? He doesn't send an army. He doesn't send policies or programs. What he does is he promises his son, or he promises a child, his son. And this child is given as a gift to all people, to all of mankind. And we've read some of those names. Now these names aren't nicknames, they're not things that were dreamt up by Isaiah or the people around him. These are names of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, what he's like, and what he's come to do, and what he's going to do, and what he is doing. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is Mighty God. His name is Everlasting Father. His name is Prince of Peace. Now when it says his name shall be called Wonderful, that Hebrew word there is Pele. And it means something marvellous, something miraculous, something beyond comprehension, something that when you see it, it fills you with awe. And it's just like, this is unbelievable. I can't believe that is happening. And it is used by the mighty acts of God that leave people saying, this must be God. There can only be a miracle. Jesus Christ is wonderful in his person. It says a child is born who is truly God, but a son is given. He is fully man and fully God. And when we see the baby in the manger at Christmas, in the Christmas nativity story, it says God is with us. He has fully come. Humanity and divinity united in one person at that moment in time. He is wonderful in his person. But he's also wonderful in his works. As we've been reading through Matthew and been seeing the things that Jesus did and what he went about doing, opening blind eyes, cleansing lepers, calming storms, and raising the dead. He is wonderful in what he did. People kept asking, who is this man? And they marveled again and again and again. They had that sense of wonder. And Jesus was wonderful in his words. The officer sent to arrest him in John 7 verse 32 came back empty handed. They didn't arrest him because it says in John 7 verse 46, the officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. He was wonderful in how he spoke. His teaching cut through all the hypocrisy of man. It exposes the heart and it offers grace to the sinners, calling the weary to rest. Isn't it amazing? His parables that he gave were simple enough for a child to understand, and yet deep enough for us to study for a lifetime. His words are wonderful. So what does that mean for us? It means that Jesus is not boring, he's not dull, he's not distant. He is wonderful in name, in what he did, and what he said. When we find that worship becomes routine, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, Restore in us, Lord, the wonder of who you are. Maybe we've known him for years, and as the song we sang this morning, somewhere along the line, the wonder has faded a little bit. Let's ask him again if we can see him as wonderful. But there's more. His name is Wonderful Counselor. Now, in our day, we talk about counselors, people who listen, who understand, and to guide. And so good counselors that are balanced and fair, they are very precious. But even the best human counselors will have limits because they're human beings. They're limited by the sinfulness of the heart. But as we've already seen, Jesus is fully God. He isn't restricted by those things. So he is perfectly wise. Scripture says about Jesus in Colossians 2 verse 3, that in him all are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Later on in Isaiah, he says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. In his Isaiah 11 verse 2. So the great thing is that as humans, we sometimes misread situations, right? We hear what someone's saying, but perhaps we don't fully understand. But that's not what happens with Jesus. He understands our hearts. He can read our thoughts. He understands the struggle that we go through because he came as fully man. But because he is fully God, he never gives us an unbalanced opinion or advice that would be wrong. He never forgets the need for us to be comforted at all times. And his counsel is always right. And the great thing is he doesn't counsel from a distance. Most counsellors you go to visit, don't you, and they sit across a table from you, or maybe you're lying on a couch and took a picture. But he doesn't do that. He took on flesh. He experienced the temptations of this world. He suffered. He had rejection and he had grief. And yet through all of that, he never sinned. And so when we pour out our heart to him, we're not speaking to someone who is being trained in theory and the right responses. We're speaking to someone who knows by experience what it is to be human, but also knows our heart and can respond to us. He speaks to us through his scripture. The written word, the word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. He counsels us by his Holy Spirit, who interestingly is called the Comforter, the Helper, the one who takes the things of Christ as we read them and makes them real in our hearts. But the great news too is he will use our godly brothers and sisters around us as instruments of counsel too. It's amazing what sometimes one of our friends in church might say to us that is from the wisdom of God to challenge us. So don't be afraid to go to him with our decisions, with our confusion, with our pain. You know, Google is not our first choice when we have a problem. Jesus should be our first choice when we have a problem. We should always pray first when we have that opportunity. And we listen and obey. You see, counselling is only any good if we listen to it and obey it. It's not just listening to it, it's obeying it as well. The Wonderful Counsellor, he is the one who is not silent. But his name is also Mighty God. Now in Hebrew that's El Gibor, G-I-B-B-O-R. And it's the clearest declarations in the Old Testament that the promised child is no human being. He is the fully divine king. When it says his name is Mighty God, it is El, capital E, Gibor. It really is an attribute of God himself to the child. It's too easy to read it and move on from it, but he is the one who is there and is declared as God. That child who was in the manger, he was declared as eternal. John 1 verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not made anything that was made. And as we continue to read through the New Testament, we get this clearer picture that he is truly God. He is Lord. He forgives sins. He receives worship. He is called the great God and the great Saviour in Titus 2 verse 13. But he was also mighty to save. He did miracles that, as we've already seen, were wonderful, that were just inexpressible when the people saw them. And at the cross, although it would seem that seemingly the world had defeated him by crucifying him, what he actually did was disarm the principalities and powers, and he rose 3 days later, proving that he wasn't just a human being. He was indeed God. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in those of us that believe. Not that we can necessarily raise ourselves from the dead or those kind of things. But what it means is that salvation does not rest on our strength. It means that the strength of Jesus holding on to you is what that comfort is. John 10 verse 28 says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So when we feel overcome with temptation, remember, we feel that the world is too much. Remember, we have a mighty Saviour. Perhaps we do feel overwhelmed by circumstances. Sue prayed this morning. It may be health, it may be finances, it may be relationships. Whatever it is, let's lift our eyes to the mighty God and say with faith, Lord, in my own strength I can't, but with you I can. His name is Everlasting Father. Or interestingly, what would be more accurate to write is his name is Father of Eternity. He is Father of Eternity, the one who originates and rules over all the ages and epochs of time on the earth. Jesus didn't come in a manger and lived for 30 odd years, then was crucified on the cross, died, resurrected, appeared again, and then went back to heaven and no longer has anything to do with the earth. No, he is a permanent ruler, not a temporary ruler. It goes on in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. He stands before time, he rules through time, and he is the Father of time. As we think of what a father should be, when we think of his name as Father of Eternity or Everlasting Father, a good father should be protective. He should provide. He should be compassionate. He should instruct. He should be patient. And Isaiah is saying, this is what the Messiah will be like to his people by calling him the Father of Eternity. It's not just a moment, it's forever that he will be like this. Jesus may have come 2,000 years ago, but he's still that good, protective, providing, compassionate, instructing, patient Messiah for each one of us today. He gathers the broken, he carries the lambs in his arms, and he leads us gently. And even though we perhaps compare, when we hear the word Everlasting Father, we think of earthly fathers. Even the best earthly fathers are limited. Even the best earthly fathers fail. But this fatherly child, this God who came in child, is everlasting. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't get weak. He doesn't abandon. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. And he's also called Prince of Peace, Shah Shalom, the ruler who brings and maintains peace. It's difficult, isn't it, when we look at our world and we think particularly of the Middle East and what's going on there, and we think, how can he have brought peace? But he brings peace. He, in a world that's divided by war and division and anxiety, his name is the one that is like an oasis in the desert. You see, the greatest problem that we have as humans is not our psychological or political or social circumstances. We know as Christians, it's spiritual. and it's the condition of our heart, that we are naturally in our unregenerated state, at odds with God. But through the cross, this child that came made peace with the blood of his precious Son, reconciling us to God. So when we repent and believe in him, the enmity, the struggle between us and God ends. As it says in Romans, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this peace within. It's not a promise that there won't be storms in life. Jesus never promised that. What he promised was that he would have a peace in the midst of them. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus brings peace. He brings mankind to their knees, recognizing that actually before God we are all broken, we are all sinners, and we all need our Saviour. He is our peace. He is the one who has brought peace into our lives. And as his kingdom advances, people who received his peace then become people who are instruments of peace. We are to be those who are forgiving instead of retaliating, serving instead of demanding, and seeking reconciliation instead of revenge. So as we read this verse again, Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. As we read that, let's ask ourselves this morning, do we truly have peace with God? Not some vague feeling that we think we're okay this morning, but a real settled reality in our hearts that our sins are forgiven, that we are right with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Do we experience that peace? Does his word rule over our worries? Are we allowing his peace to flow through us? I know there are times when I can get all angst and wound up and I worry and I fret about things, but allow God's peace, particularly this Christmas, as Kim reminded us this morning, it is about his Son coming. It's about Christmas. It's not merry holidays. You know, none of that. It's about Jesus Christ coming incarnate into our world. He is wonderful. He is the one who fills our hearts with awe. He is Counselor, the one who guides us with perfect wisdom. He is Mighty God, the one who saves, loves, and keeps us with his infinite power. He is the Everlasting Father, the one who cares and loves us with an unending fatherly compassion from heaven. And he is the Prince of Peace, the one who reconciles us to God and calms our hearts within. It's not just pretty flowery words, it's the reality of who Jesus is. And the New Testament leaves us with no doubt that this prophecy, approximately 734 years before Jesus was born, this is a messianic prophecy. And the New Testament leaves us in no doubt that he was born of a virgin, he was called Emmanuel, and all authority on heaven and earth was given him. And he will reign and rule, and his enemies are under his feet. Could the worship team, please. So as we close, let's just ask ourselves afresh this Christmas season these questions. Do we know him as wonderful? Have we lost our sense of awe? Do we know him as counselor? Or do we lean on our own understanding? Do we know him as Mighty God? Or are we living as though everything depends upon him? Do we know him as Everlasting Father? Or are we just spiritual orphans wondering where or how we're going to get on? Or do we know him as Prince of Peace, the one who can stop the striving inside each one of us? As those who know him, let this verse, this Christmas, stir up the worship within us and help him to be the one who refreshes our obedience during this Christmas season. Amen.